Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Week off by rolling out the Monday edition of Sport Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up over there on Wednesdays and Saturdays. But, you know, swing on by there, check out what's going on. You never know what might pop up. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we'd greatly appreciate that. But don't forget we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan Z-Man 3.
All right, Dan. Well, the NBA regular season is over, not that anybody cared. And now we have to deal with this goofy play-in game or tournament, I should say, because it's multiple games. That actually starts tomorrow. The Eastern Conference starts tomorrow. It's Charlotte at Indiana and then Washington at Boston. And then the winners will play each other on Thursday. In the Western Conference, those games are on Wednesday. It's San Antonio at Memphis and Golden State at Los Angeles, and that would be the Lakers, Dan. They fell into the play-in tournament. You know, and this is the setup here is if you lose, you're out. So basically you have to win two games to get into the actual playoffs. What I still don't understand about this, Dan, is the Lakers were 7 and the Warriors were 8 in the West. Why the hell do they play each other in the first playoff game? Shouldn't 7 play 10 and 8 play 9?
That's kind of what I thought. I was super confused, and I was trying to pull up one of the graphs or – you know, that thing, whatever first one I saw this morning, and maybe I can find it on Facebook, you know, the arrows and everything pointing to where it was supposed to be. I'm like, I don't get it. And then, you know, not even looking at anything other than places, I'm like, well, if the Lakers are 7, like you said, and Golden State is 8, then why are they playing each other for a seed? So I just don't understand this process at all, except that I hope, just for sake, that I think it would be hilarious that the Lakers lose.
Well, you know, and what I find really funny about this is, you know, I watched SportsCenter while I was having breakfast when I got home this morning. I don't know if what I ate could be considered breakfast, but I have something. And I honestly didn't even know there were Eastern Conference games or that there was another game in the Western Conference, because all they are talking about is Golden State and the Lakers. And, you know, this brings us back to the NBA's biggest problem with relatability is they don't know how to get these other teams into the public eye, because they're so stuck on talking about LeBron James and now Steph Curry because he just won the scoring title.
Yeah, But I think I figured it out. So this is why the hell it was confusing, because I saw the brackets and I'm like, wait a minute. So, I mean, somebody put it out as a – basically as the Lakers losing. So essentially, I guess what happens is, so the Lakers and Golden State play one game and then whoever loses.
Yeah, this one game.
Okay, so then if the Lakers lose, Golden State gets the seventh seed to play the Suns, and then the Lakers have to play the winner. So
yes,
the Lakers would have to play the winner of the 9 and 10 seeds.
Yes. And basically they're playing to face the number one seed in the first round.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, I mean, it does make sense. It is a little confusing at first. But like I said, after James Brown's, where the hell did that come from? After LeBron James is crying about, you know, complaining about the play-in tournament and how he praised it last year, I just hope they lose.
Well, yeah. The only interesting thing to me about that game is the fact that it's two marquee teams, and I don't know how the NBA is going to choose which one they're going to want to advance. You know, do you go with the Lakers and pray to God LeBron can do better in the Lakers than he did last year, or is Steph Curry and the Warriors a better story? So it's going to be really interesting to see how they decide this, so to speak. Because as you all know, if you've listened to the podcast before, I completely believe the NBA is fixed. We'll have to remember this on Wednesday, Dan, and I'll have to kind of see who you think is going to win or where you think they might go, because that's really the only interesting thing to me about this, is who the NBA is going to pick to win that game, because you damn well know whoever wins it is going into the actual playoffs. They'll win the second game as well. So, you know, and then the other odd thing that, you know, this is another one of those goofy things NBA does that I don't understand, is they have refused to release the rest of the playoff schedule until the play-in games are done. Now, we already know that whoever wins the play-in tournament faces the number one seed. We know that the number one seed is the home team, so they're going to play, or, you know, wait, when you win the play-in game, you know, maybe I'm wrong about this, Dan. I'm thinking more and more that when you win the play-in game, if you win the second game, you become the seventh seed, and the loser of that other game becomes the seed. Because right now there's technically only 16 in the playoffs, and you need 8. So two of these four teams have to advance. So
yeah, no, I
don't know.
I mean, from what I'm seeing,
you know,
they don't have...
Good, isn't it?
Well, from what I'm... The graphic that I have... it still has, you know, the Jazz would play the winner of 9 and 10 and 7, loser of 7-8. But the 4th and 5th are still up against each other. 3 and 6 are still up against each other. And then, you know, the 7-8 seed winner would get the second place team.
Oh, okay. So the winners of those games advance directly into the playoffs is how that works out. Okay, so... The Lakers or the Warriors would play the Suns in the first round.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so now that makes a little more sense. You know, just for us regionally here, Dan, the Bulls missed the playoffs by 2 games. Or the play-in tournament by 2 games, I should say. So that's really not, you know, the play-in game isn't considered part of the playoffs.
You know, why not have a 3-team series? Really spice it up.
Yeah, just kind of,
6, 7,
you know,
eight?
This is kind of ridiculous. So
7, 8, and 9 play, you know, it's not even at home. You know, they go back to Disney World or wherever. And they literally play three games, you know, they all play each other, and the team that's not playing doesn't get to sit in the locker room. No, 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 Big Jack. They sit on the court side and wait their turn.
Oh. Well, that's, you know, that's nice of them. At least they get to play, right? But all right, well, that's enough of the day that I would care to discuss, because at least that I could care less that the playoff starting and watching it. So that's kind of how it worked out. But what I'm wondering here, Dan, and maybe do this for me, is how much more can the Dodgers take? All right, they had a couple days ago now, they have now lost Corey Seager, who fractured hand, and he is going to be out 4 to 6 weeks. You add Seager to a list of Zach McKinstry, Edwin Rios, Cody Bellinger, and A.J. Pollock, along with pitchers Tony Gosselin and Dustin. This is getting ridiculous for this team. Now, they also did over the weekend add Albert Pujols. The bench as a pitch hitter. And they also picked up Yoshi Satugu, who the Tampa Bay Rays just put on waiver. So, you know, they're penciling it in here, Dan, but man, this is getting ugly, isn't it?
Well, at least they have help. it's getting ugly. I mean, you know, as the Cubs came up on their series, you know, everyone's, they beat the Dodgers, and then they turn around and lose to a last place team. But at the same time, they beat up on your guy, which worked out for me. But at the same time, like you said, they don't have the same offense on the field. So, you know, it's in a crap place for the Dodgers right now. And it's just May, right? That's what we're going with. Or it's only May.
Yeah. The only problem is by the time some of these are back, they could be in serious trouble, and Dustin May won't be back. He's having gone.
Yeah.
And what they decided they're going to do while Seager is out is Gavin Lux is going to move over and play shortstop. Chris Taylor is going to come in and take over at second base. Looks like Luke Rayleigh play right field full time. Beatty will take over for Pollock. So there, time names, Dan. Did you go out and pick up Luke Rayleigh on your fantasy team?
No. Did you say something about Mookie Betts?
No. Mookie Betts is fine and still in center field. He's okay. So, call back up. They had just sent him back to AAA. He was only down there for like four games or whatever. Now he's back with the big club. So, you know, it's just, I don't even know how the hell the team. It's ugly. And I mean, even with all the depth right now, Dan, they haven't announced that the starter is going to be the fill-in for Dustin May. I know they're expected to activate David Price. Do you think he'll try to their rotation, even though he's been working on that?
I think so, only because of who we know is in the front office, ain't it? I mean, it's an analytics team that runs the lineup management, so they're not super high on guys, you know, going long to begin with. So, I mean, I think it's conceivable that he could go back into that starting pitching role. Or if they don't feel it works for him, maybe they'll go the Tampa Bay route and come with the opener just to keep him in his same mindset. Big Jack, though, and I can't say this is one of the deciding factors in my trade acceptance with you, because I really didn't need Didi. I have multiple shortstops along with Javi Baez. But to be honest with you, you know, him and Moustakas have pretty similar numbers, the guy that you took from me. I'm sure you wanted him also because he plays multiple positions, but I felt like when I looked at your team, you had a plethora of those guys too. I learned that from you. I stole that from you, so I won't, you know, I won't deny that. but, you know, the automatic thing when I'm sitting there last night and I got the Corey Seager update, which is disappointing, was, well, if I take Big Jack's, you know, take Didi from Big Jack, and I have these extra shortstops or qualifiers for shortstop, who the hell has Corey Seager in our league? Because I'm going after him. Or I'm going after that team and hoping that maybe they've got something.
Yeah, you know, as I saw you accepted that trade, just before I saw the news that Joe Girardi and Gene Segura had an altercation in the Phillies dugout yesterday.
Yeah, I saw that too.
You know, yes, Segura is one of my guys. He qualifies at second, short, and third, which was part of the reason I was okay with, you know, shipping off Didi. And I was like, great, the last thing I need here now is for her, you know, Segura to get in the doghouse and get benched or something. So I'm like, great, here we go.
I don't know. I think Joe's that kind of manager, so it's just going to happen. So, I mean, yeah, I did see that. I didn't think too much about it, to be honest with you. But I was kind of – I didn't even realize that it was Gene Segura was on the Padres, the Phillies. So I really wasn't even thinking about that. So sorry for you for not getting in to cancel that trade soon enough.
Yeah, and I, you know, I'm still, like you mentioned, I have multiple guys who qualify at multiple positions. So, you know, even if he does end up in the doghouse and, you know, they sit him for a little while or whatever his punishment may be, okay. So,
yeah, it took me a while and, you know, kind of sticking with the fantasy and rolling over to regular real football, baseball. It took me a little bit longer because I was trying to counter you with trying to swap pitchers. To be honest, Big Jack, I was liking Urias's numbers, and I thought maybe you would like some Giolito on your team, but my biggest fear was, you know, and I don't fear this one so much with the trade we did make, but my biggest fear was I would trade him to you and all of a sudden the White Sox would turn around and start winning games for Lucas. And then, you know what would happen. Julio would get hurt or something while he's on my team after I make the trade.
Yeah.
So it just scared me. But, you know, I mean, I don't know. It's kind of – it is, I would say, kind of an art to even try to match teams up. And I think I could have enticed you a little bit with Lucas Giolito. I don't know if I could have got enough. If it was enough for you to take, you know, swap Julio. But you know, have you looked into that or has any of that popped up? Because I think that's what's changing with my perspective a little bit more. Like I said, when I saw Corey Seager's update, my first thought was, okay, who has Seager on their team? Pitching do they have?
Yeah.
Because I'm looking for pitching.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, it makes sense depending on, well, obviously, you know, who's got him. And because, you know, again, in our league, obviously, he's on every team. You know, he was probably a very early selection in all our leagues. So, yeah, you've just got to wonder if the guy is, you know, if he's got backup or, you know, because with a guy like that, in a lot of cases, you think, oh, you know, no big deal. I've got Corey Seager. I'll pick up another shortstop later.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you know, even in my
in the one league I'm in, I'm looking at the guy's team who has them. So I believe this is the auction league, and the only shortstop he has active on his roster right now is Andrés Giménez of the Indians. So if that's the lead you're looking to make mm-hmm. trades in, you may have something there.
I want to just take a look. It shows, you know, and it's funny you say that. And I don't know if this is, do you think this happens a little bit more with maybe the middle infield? Or maybe it's something that just happens with infield in general. But I did the same thing. You know, I landed Javi in one league. I think whatever league that was, we made the trade. And then I landed Tim Anderson in the other league. And when the White Sox were getting postponed, it screwed me. Because I realized after the fact that not only did I not draft another shortstop, I didn't even draft a guy who played multiple positions to play shortstop. So I was actually out with a shortstop for like a good week just because I couldn't find the right one, or, you know, when I picked him up, it was the wrong day, and you know how that goes.
Yeah, I that quite a bit that happened. I don't know. Yeah, no, I get that. But yeah, you know, it just, you know, a little hit or miss. You know, you got to kind of on or how it's working out. But.
Yeah, it's just interesting theory.
But yeah, no, I sure. You know, we were talking earlier. I did manage to win both my games last week, but you unfortunately had some struggles, didn't you?
I would call it more than struggles. You know, it was just one of those unfortunate weeks, though, where, you know, like with pitching, I won two games, I lost two games. He lost one game, he won three games. You know what I mean? I had two holds, he had three. I had one save, he had two. I don't know if those were the exact ones, but close to what I was looking at. You know, sometimes I think, and I don't know if you get like this, when you lose, you kind of take a quick look, but you just, on to the next week. I don't want to dwell on it. Because, you know, and that's one of the hard things, I think, with baseball, too, especially on the pitching side. You could have crap numbers for 2 weeks, and then all of a sudden those same guys that you have just dominate for, you know, 3 or 4 weeks, and you don't lose the pitching category. So it's hard, but I did have to start taking a look at the guys that I did have. You know, and it's difficult when you have a pitcher who hasn't really made a name for himself, and you pick up and you're hoping that he gets innings. But then, you know, it's comes this past weekend when the Cubs are playing the Tigers, and I think it's Julio or Jose Urania to win, but he's going up against my team. So, and then I don't even think he made it past the second inning, because I don't know if you caught any of that game. So I think it was the second inning. He took a line drive off the top of his side or top of his foot.
Oh,
so that, yeah, it was bizarre, Big Jack. You know, I forget which way he throws, but whatever foot, you know, leaves the ground when they're pitching, it swung over. So I'm assuming he's right-handed, because that right, I think it's the right foot, swung over the left going towards first base, and the way that line drive came off the bat, it was basically like the Randy Johnson hitting the bird type deal. You know, you couldn't have had better. Yeah, I mean, on both ends, you know, the hitter, the pitcher, you couldn't have had better timing. And, you know, it's just kind of one of those freak accidents that happens. So, you know, when I saw that, and I think the Tigers were up before that, you know, I was, of course, upset that I had to root against my team. But I wanted the Tigers to win. And then, you know, with Urania being taken out, obviously he didn't get any kind of decision or really any stats except for the two innings that I needed to finish out my 20 for the week. Go figure.
I've been looking and trying and sending out trades, and for whatever reason, they just kind of sit there. you know, and they end up firing. You know, like I sent one out, when I sent you one in I believe that was the Snake League. I also sent one out in the Auction League, and there's just been zero response. So I, you know, it's kind of like, oh, okay, you know, and it, you know, it looked like a team that was changing their lineup because that's one of the first things I looked. So, but yeah, I, you know, guess not. I don't know. So, but yeah, I think we're the only guys who have made trades with each other. I don't think anybody else has made a deal between them.
So. No, I just. You know, Super Sox fan, you know, got mad when I sent him a fair trade and not Giolito, Zach Greinke, and the White Sox closer for, you know, four bench guys.
Oh dude, that's what I wanted to tell you. We just got one of those in the money league. We had a guy send us a deal where he was going to he wanted Walker Buehler from us. And in return, he was going to give us the Cardinals reliever who is, I believe it's Giovanni Guy. I don't think it's Gallegos, but the last name starts with a G as well. Along with Chris Taylor, the Dodgers utility guy, because he thought we needed a second baseman. And I was like, yeah, we're going to give you a top-notch starting pitcher for a nothing reliever and a really good utility guy. Yeah, we're all over that, buddy. Thanks. So, I emailed Mr. Fantasy. I said, look, I'm rejecting this trade. This is a joke. He was like, yeah, go ahead. So I was like, what, were you thinking? You weren't thinking about accepting it, were you? So.
Oh, he said that to you?
No, I was just teasing him, but he actually agreed with me that it was crap. And I was just like, really? This is the offer you send us? When, you know, and the funny thing is, like, A, we have other second basemen, you know, like we have Jonathan Scope who will be a positive fill-in. And then I can't remember, we had one other guy who plays there, and I picked up Nico Goodrum who's been playing really well for the Tigers. So we have plenty of guys to fill the spot. You know, and it was just like, okay, why do I need this? So, you know, send me something decent and we'll think about it. And then again, you know, it was one of those trades where the worst part is, yeah, we'll take this and now we're going to cut that reliever because we're over.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
You know. So, yeah, it was just kind of like, okay, you know, is this a starting point, or what is this supposed to be?
Well, and, you know, and I think that's one of the things that Yahoo and CBS, and I don't know about all of them, but I think they need to take a quick look and maybe add that feature. And I don't know maybe I can tweet Yahoo like I did previously, but to be able to list how many players that each, you know, active players you have on your team, because that's one of the things I hate, you know. What I thought was stupid about that trade, you know, it was 4-for-3. And I'm thinking, dude, who do you want me to drop? Like, if you want me to drop somebody, then maybe you should just take them, because this doesn't make any sense for me. I have to trade, you know,
right.
I have to drop a guy to even accept your trade.
Yeah. You know, yeah, and that's, you know, that's just kind of one of the things, like, you know, you have to think about that when you're trying to trade somebody.
Mm-hmm. You know, and the other thing is, I know this isn't professional sports, and, you know, especially in our Yahoo leagues, we're not winning, making any money off of anything. But it's like, come on now, we want to be competitive. Don't. What is the? Am I that stupid? You know.
Yeah, you know that. I just thought it was, you know, it was like, okay, now here we go, And, you know, like they've made a, you know, they've made a couple, talked about a couple of the trades in their, you know, in that league. And so far this year, they've been fair. As it goes on, they'll become one-sided and, they, you know, it'll be like, okay. You know, they're trying to get somebody into the playoffs or they're, you know, trying to help out their buddy or something.
Which I think is stupid.
Yeah, you know, it's just like, eh, okay. But, yeah, I know, you know, like we've had the discussion a few times, but they haven't done anything about it yet. You know, I mean, at least in our league, you can vote against trades or, you know, the commissioner can go and void it out if he thinks it's a scam. But, yeah, in this league, they just let it go through.
Well, and, you know, for our league, if those things kind of went through, which you and I aren't really, you know, I think we've even talked about it before. We're like, well, that dude's getting screwed, but no one voted against it. But we're also free.
Yeah,
you we're know, not spending cases, a couple
of not, yeah, you know, if the guy's not weird or, you know, something like that, I don't have a problem with a trade going through because, you know, in most cases, you know, they need that player. So they, you know, or they need that position, so they're going after whatever they can. But yeah, you know, have to, you know, well, you know, we always keep an eye out for it just in case. But yeah, you know, hopefully, you know, things. Well, of course, with the way our league is going this year, there won't be any more trades.
Big Jack, if you want to get a medal, we need four more, so we could just trade guys back and forth.
Well, just to kind of see how, you know, see how it goes. Send them back. You know, I'll trade a guy. You know, we'll trade two guys, and then when that deal, you know, is going through, we'll send them back for each other.
Exactly. You know, I tried. I tried, it just didn't work out, but tossed, you know, kind of giving you that idea for the NFL when I was down to one quarterback and, you know, I needed someone for the bye week, but it didn't work out the way I thought it was going to, or I had, whatever, it just, I don't think we talked more about it, but I was like, I wonder if someone will trade, you know. Because I think you had one that was on the same bye week as me, so you'd only have one, too. So
yeah. Yeah. Well, just one of those fun coincidences.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't really get a chance to talk about it. I did mention it. What do you think about this Pujols to the Dodgers? I really thought he was going to end up in the American League.
So did I. I really thought he was going to end up in the American League. So I'm kind of surprised, but I think, you know, with the fact that all the injuries that have been happening in LA, this is a good pick for them. You know, some friend or a group I'm in and a guy responded, you know, diehard Dodger fan, you know, already dogging it. And it's like, dude, you have the injuries. You've got a guy that hits home runs. So if he comes in, you know, pinch hits in the seventh inning and belts one with two guys on, you're not going to be crying about it then. You know, and if it doesn't work out, it's for half a season. You know, because his biggest comment was, oh, you know, something about, well, you know, go figure, the Angels release him in, you know, in the last year of his contract. And I forgot what the deal was. I think it is. Everything's all different now on SpotTrack, so... because the transaction was made, I believe. So, to me, I think it's interesting. I think it's a good pickup for the Dodgers. like I said, you're not going to have any. How much harm do you have? They did get hit with some luxury tax. Apparently that 500. Well, they must be over it already, right? So you know they've got some money on that. But
oh, yeah.
I mean, to get a guy like Albert Pujols for under 600,000, I think is a steal for the rest of the season. Oh yeah, and it is finalized. Here's his conference with the Dodgers.
Yeah, you know, and like you said, they didn't have to give up anything to get him, and
mm-hmm.
B, they're not paying him anything. So, you know, if it doesn't work out, they're not linked to him. You know, he is signed for the rest of the year, so that's it. You know, I don't know why you would be that negative about it. It's not, you know, it's all in all, it's a pretty good signing.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, you look at their depth chart right now. You look at their depth chart right now, and they have Max Muncy listed as number one, with Matt Beattie and
right.
then Edwin Rios, who's on the 60-day IL. So I mean, and I could be wrong. Chris Taylor doesn't double up at first, does he?
No.
I'm sure if bottom line, if you needed Justin Turner over there, that could work, but. I mean, with the amount of injuries they have, has he? With the amount of injuries they have going on right now, I think it would be nice to have him cornered up there at first, playing part-time with Max.
Yeah, and, well, you know, and Muncy has played other positions. You know, he's played second and he's
mm-hmm.
played third. So, you know, if they decide that, you know, Taylor or Turner or whoever needs a day off, Muncy can, you know, move over and play. I'm sure he could play that position again. I couldn't see why not. And, you know, like they basically said, Albert is only going to play against lefties and he's going to come off the bench as a pinch hitter. So, you know, they're not going to run him out there every day against everybody. You know, my
mm-hmm.
guess is when they do interleague, they're DH. But, you know, you look at the experience you're adding, and, you know, he can do nothing but help the young guys at this point. And there's a
yeah.
lot of young guys on this team because everybody's hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So.
What is the oldest guy, Austin Barnes, besides Clayton? And Kenley?
Well, Justin Turner.
Oh, yeah. Forgot.
You know,
yeah,
but
yeah,
that,
you know,
they're both.
And that's generally
you know,
where
still
you
a
want. No, go ahead.
No, I said they're generally a young team. So, you know,
yeah.
with everybody hurt, once everybody's back, they'll be fine. But, you know, with everybody hurt, they become a much younger team.
Mm-hmm. Well, and when you have a younger team, what I was trying was, you know, it usually is the guys on the corners that are the vets. The veterans of the team.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and I mean, you can look at it right here in Chicago. You know, that's Jose Abreu's job is to help the young guys.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And hit grand slams.
Yes. You know, or other players when they're in the baseline. You know, that. So, yeah, and then, you know, again, I guess, you know, this next kind of baseball thing we had to figure was inevitable. Giancarlo Stanton went on the IL with a quad strain. So they're hoping he's just going to miss the minimum 10-day, but it will probably be a little longer. This is his first trip to the IL this year, which is obviously a positive thing because, unfortunately, he is – spent a lot of time there since the Yankees have acquired him. You know, again, something you got to worry about with a quad. Dan, is this going to continue to haunt him, or can he get over this and pick up? Because he was having a pretty good year.
I think it's going to continue to haunt him.
You know, and remember, he doesn't even play the field. He's just a DH.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then another Yankees, they had to put Aaron Hicks on the IL,
yeah.
And I believe they were talking about Hicks. I'm going to look and get the injury here. Oh, yeah, he has a torn tendon in his wrist. So they actually believe that he will probably miss the remainder of the season. So that was a pretty big blow for them. You know, they did call up, surprisingly, they called up a pitcher to take Stanton's roster spot. They called up, I believe it's Albert. I want to say Albert Abreu. Yeah. So I wasn't kind of expecting that, but they'll add him to the bullpen, and they're another team that they dealt with a little bit of a little bit of an injury issue. You know, they're still waiting for Severino to return. He should be back right around the All-Star break, and then they have Zach Britton and Darren O'Day both sidelined as pitchers, and then you add Stanton and Hicks to Rognet Ordur, and then Gleyber Torres tested positive for COVID.
Mm-hmm.
So, they're missing some big pieces, but they've been playing better, and we'll have to see how they fill in and cover for this, but who knows. I guess if Aaron Judge keeps hitting homers, they'll be okay. Didn't he hit like 4 in 4 days or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm disappointed I don't have him on any fantasy teams. So, of course, that wouldn't have happened if I had him on any fantasy teams. we'll see how it kind of goes, and if hopefully Stanton can get back quickly, again, unfortunately, this is kind of something that seems to happen with him. I don't know what it is. Obviously he looks like he's in great shape, so who knows. So, yeah, the weekend was the Cardinals lost their starting shortstop. Paul DeJong went on a IL with a non-displaced left rib fracture. Can you tell me what non-displaced means, Dan? Because I have no clue.
Isn't that kind of it's like saying irregardless, right? Because if it's non-displaced,
sure.
Doesn't that mean it's placed? Does that mean it's placed?
Yes. Yeah, I don't know that it makes sense, but I'm not quite sure that's accurate. So
do you feel like that's just the doctor term for we don't know where, but it's fractured somewhere?
Here, I actually binged it, so I used your favorite search engine. A non-displaced type of fracture is the one in which your bone cracks in only one place and doesn't move to change alignment. You usually have a non-displaced and hairline fracture when something hits your bone forcefully. In some cases, the bone does not break completely and there will be a crack on the bone. So there you go.
Oh, maybe that's what I had.
But not the bone itself didn't operate. Just has a crack in it. So hopefully, another guy who hopefully will recover quickly, and the Cardinals won't have to go too long without him, especially because I have him in our home run league, and he was one of the few guys I had who actually was hitting some home runs for me. So.
Interesting. A shortstop hitting home runs.
Yeah, that's what that works out now. That never used to be the case. They never used to hit home runs. They were just defensive players at the time. But now that that's no longer the case.
I'm not knocking it. Trevor Story hit a bunch of home runs for like a season.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of, we're to the point now where basically everybody hits home runs, so.
Yeah, but you remember when Mark Theriault hit like 5 oh no, he must be on the juice.
Yeah.
just one of those, you know, one of those things, you know, that's kind of how it goes. But that was a little before we got to analytics and all this stuff about, you know, launch angles and, you know, the swing of your plane and all those things. So, well, you know, we'll see. But yeah, that's just one of those things, right?
Yeah, but I got a little caught up this weekend, some home stuff. The NASCAR went on yesterday. I forgot to put in a lineup Saturday.
Oh,
so
I invited you.
Did you? Maybe I did. Sometimes I do it and I don't even remember. But anyway, you know, now my mind just went totally blank. I had it on. I was doing some other stuff around, though. And I did see the winner. Oh.
Yes.
I did enter. And I was 40,000th. So I don't remember now.
Yeah. Alex Bowman won. Actually, Hendrick Carr finished 1, 2, 3, and 4. I sent you the invite to that, Dan. I missed moneying by less than a point.
Ooh, that sucks.
Oh, that's how I went. Yeah, I was just kind of like, yeah, okay. I'm right here. And yeah, just one less than 1 point. I think it was 0.7. of getting into the money. So, yeah, I was like,
wow.
Great. Maybe I would have gotten my nickel back at least, but nope, not to be. So I have to make it up tonight, baseball.
So, you know, one of the things I'm learning about NASCAR is that whenever someone wins the race, it's one of their favorite tracks.
Yes.
So, you know, I mean, and I'm not trying to knock the league at all, but, you know, I just, NASCAR is pretty much all reliant on sponsorship, 100%. You know, obviously, the jackets, the cars, the whole nine. So we all know that. But I didn't realize it went into the track, too. And, you know, is there a push because, you know, yesterday they're only going there once this year. And it just seems like over the last couple of weeks, the winners are just raving about how much they love the track. And that's, you know, part of the reason they won. You know, of course they thank their pit crew and the whole nine, those guys too, which obviously everyone works together. But I didn't know if that was just another thing that NASCAR, you know, is that part of their script? You know, is that written into everything now?
You know, it wouldn't surprise me if it is, you know, because, again, you've got to get those names out there. So, you know, it just kind of is what it is. You know, it's like when every guy you see interviewed, you know, very much the first thing he does is thank his sponsor and make sure he gets that name out there. You know, and then they basically go over almost everybody else who is on the car as a sponsor. So, you know, you got to keep those people happy because, you know, a lot of them give millions of dollars to sponsor a team.
Yeah. No, I mean, that part of it I get. I just, you know, I was kind of laughing because it's not the first time I heard the, you know, and I don't know if it's just a thing because they switch tracks up. You know, like, we don't even get one this year. Not that,
right.
You know, and I even asked my brother-in-law. I asked my brother-in-law about that because I'm like, you know, I'm like, what's wrong with Chicagoland Speedway? It's like the redheaded stepchild of NASCAR. He's like, what do you mean? I go, think about it. I'm like, you go to the race. You've gone to the races over the years. He's like, yeah. I go, what is the last race that's advertised?
up until the last minute. You know, the only race that I've seen on the schedule over a couple of years that didn't have a sponsor, that doesn't have, like, a set date, is Chicagoland Speedway. And he's like, you know, honestly, I never thought about that. He goes, I usually just went, drank, and had a good time. He's like, I didn't think about that stuff. I'm like, no, I get that. I go, but...
You answered the wrong question.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why? You know, what's the problem? Sponsor.
Oh.
So, you know, I mean, you can go through the other races, and they pretty much, I believe, just about every single one of them has a name.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, because I saw this one this week, they're doing the road course this week at Circuit of Americas in Austin, Texas, and that's the Echo Park Texas Grand Prix. Now, I don't know what Echo Park is, but they're sponsoring it.
Yeah. Hey, I'm still waiting for the Cheez-It 400 to come back again.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. Are they? I don't know if they're having that one, if they're having it this year or not. But you know, there are, you know, again, there's a ton of, you know, a ton of names. You know, I mean, I always like the Go Bowling one. I think that's a road course race too. So we'll have to see if that one comes back.
Yeah, and I guess I didn't even realize it from that standpoint that, you know, certain tracks are more attractive to sponsors. You know, because to me, you know, over the last couple of years when we were able to watch NASCAR with full capacity, you never really saw it. They always seem to be packed. You know, the Winnebago people, you know, they've got all their spots. Granted, I don't know how much of that is, you know, racers, families and whatnot. But, you know, those things always seem to be pretty packed. The campsites, I guess you call them now. And then the crowds, the stands seem to be, you know, very packed. So to me, you know, while NASCAR may not be up there with the NFL, so to speak, the NASCAR fans are very loyal and they show up and they're there every single week. And even in the crap weather, when they're all sitting there going, this race ain't going to happen today, they're there, you know, and tornado warnings underneath bleachers, for Christ's sake. I mean, these guys are loyal guys, women, you know, these fans are loyal to NASCAR. So it just kind of throws me off that, you know, what deters a sponsor when they're like, nah, I don't like that. You know, I'm not going to sponsor this race.
Yeah, you know, you do wonder, that's the thing, like, I don't know what a sponsor looks for.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, who knows?
You know, and I get it, like Chicago, you know, there may not be, you know, we don't have Kellogg's anymore. We don't have Sara Lee. We don't have the big companies like we used to that you would think would go after fans of that sort. You know, so I get that part. But even a national, you would think Coca-Cola would be like, oh, hell, I'll throw money in on that one, you know, put our name on it. You know, a brand that's, you know, very well established and can just, you know, open a window and donate money, you know what I mean, sponsor money with no issue. So it's just kind of, I didn't realize that was the issue and why. Because if you remember, I mean, the last Chicago race was the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, whatever, 100. Maybe not the last Chicago race, but the last one I remember. And the movie wasn't even in theaters anymore. The movie had already debuted in the early, you know, early summer, you know, was out of theaters already. So it didn't really help promote the movie. It didn't really help do anything for anybody, I felt like. Unless, you know, Nickelodeon had a new Teenage Mutant Ninja show that I didn't know about because I don't watch Nickelodeon. But, yeah, I just didn't see, you know, and it's like, You see all these big names, and all of a sudden you get to Chicago, and it's like, man, well, we found these guys, you know.
Yeah, well, if I remember correctly, they lost the sponsor very close to the race, maybe a month or so before the race. Mm-hmm. So they were scrambling to find somebody. So, you know, but like you were mentioning that, you know, fans camp out at NASCAR, and one of the things NASCAR actually does on the NASCAR site, they provide camping information for their fans.
Oh yeah.
You know, and that you know NASCAR is incredibly fan friendly, so they make sure they do whatever they can to take care of them. And you know, that's just one of the things they do. They give you the information you need. So if you wanna, you know, if you wanna camp out, here you go.
I mean, and let's be honest, Big Jack, if I had the means, that's the way to go. I mean, just in general, but you know, I mean, the sticker price, I looked at it once, it's like $1,000 or more.
Yeah.
But you know, so you better bring a bunch of people, but at the same time, you know, you're not having to get up to go to the bathroom, going to get your food. Well, if you want to go get food, but you know, you probably have your little grill there. You're cooking your own food, peeing in your own bathroom.
Oh, yeah.
Sitting on your roof, you know.
Hey, you know, some of those, you know, RVs and mobile homes are better than some of the places I've lived. So.
Oh, trust me, we've seen one. I'm like, babe, we can't afford $500,000 camper.
Oh, yeah, that's, you know, that's nuts. But, you know,
even if we sold our house and moved into it.
Yeah, you know, they love the sport, and they follow the sport, and that's how they do it. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, I give them a ton of credit. I mean, it's no different than being a season ticket holder for your, you know, your favorite, you know, baseball, football, hockey, basketball team, whatever. You know, except you travel, you just don't go to home games.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you know, I mean, I honestly, you know, if I could afford to do something like that, I'd love to. I just, you know, I'd need to win the lottery.
Oh, I would drive my wife nuts. I would just invest all the money, but enough to just blow it on going to sports events.
Yeah. So yeah, I was just kind of like, hey, yeah, you know, it would be fun. I mean, you know, because that's the thing, you know, they always say when, you know, you catch a historic home run or something, you know, what these people ask for. And, you know, to be honest with you, all I would want is the ability to go to any game that I wanted to and to be able to sit in, like, the owner's box or the some kind of luxury box when I go. That's the only thing I would want.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want money. I don't want autographs. That's all I want to do. I want to be able to come to games.
And if he wants to meet me, he can meet me and take a picture with me.
Right. No, I don't care about you. But, yeah, I mean, well, you know how inactive I am on social media. I don't care about any of that stuff. Not like I'm going to post it and go, oh, look what I did. You know.
I
like I said, I just want to come back to the game. Show me the game. Yeah. So yeah.
I will. You know, I'll even go on a budgeted meal plan when I get there. I won't.
Yeah.
I won't go nuts on the.
You know, hell, I don't have to drink when I'm not drinking. So you know, that's okay.
Yeah, as we do. Before we do run out of time, Big Jack, quick story. You know, my brother-in-law's bachelor party, this was years ago, actually Jeter's farewell tour, so I got really lucky. His brother's a baseball fan, aside from being a White Sox fan, but he's a baseball fan, so it worked out. He picked Memorial Day weekend. We got to do that right field bleacher thing with the White Sox where you get fed for like 3 innings, and you know, you get to sit in these, you know, this nice section. It's pretty cool. It's now called the White Goose Island, so, you know, everything's been remodeled for White Goose now. But, you know, that's where we got to sit. I seen Shiro or Tanaka, you know, warming up. So that was, you know, kind of cool. But the funny thing, like you said, you know, everyone drank, but, you know, me and a couple others, we didn't really drink alcohol. But now it's closing time for the free access, you know, for the free stuff. And we're,
right.
You know, a couple innings and we're about to leave. So they're starting to close everything down. And they had one refrigerator just that had, you know, bottles of pop and water, you know, Pepsi, I think, whoever their sponsor was, I don't really remember. It was probably Pepsi because Mountain Dew was there and, you know, bottles of water. And someone came up and they're like, dude, they're going to take the drinks away. You know, they're going to lock, you know, close everything down. So all of us, we went down there and just cleared the refrigerator. You know, I had, you know, shorts on, and you know how men's shorts, unless you're wearing Dockers, all come with, you know, pockets on the sides. I had, you know, pockets stuffed with drinks. You know, we're walking out, you know. You know, anyone in our party, like, oh, hey, who's got the, you know, we were just trading drinks. So it's kind of funny. We definitely took advantage of the free drinks and food that day. But, hey, that's what
all right, well,
do, right?
Hey. You kind of took us into overtime, so I'm not going to play the music, and we'll just come back tomorrow, huh?
Oh, wonderful. My clocks
so,
are 3 minutes
behind. You guys know the deal, sportstimeradio.com. Check out the Facebook page. Check out the Twitter feed, and Dan and I will see you tomorrow. Say goodbye, Dan.
Goodbye, Dan.